The message this morning was where Barnabas exhorted all the new converts to cleave unto the Lord. I'm going to start with Isaiah 1, and then I'm going to go to Job 23. I'm going to be jumping around a lot. But we're going to talk about this thing that the Lord desiring, wanting our company. The Lord wanted his disciples to be around him. He wanted them to be with him where he was. And he wants you to be there with him. He loves you. He died for you. All he wants you is to love him back a little bit and show it by spending some time with him. Now, is that too tough? It's not too tough. For some folks, it is. Isaiah 1:18, the Bible says, "Come now and let us reason together," saith the Lord. And then in Job 23:3, Job said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say in me." That communication between you and God. When have you got along with God and had that sweet fellowship with God? Laid your burdens at his feet. One day Abraham began to reason with the Lord over his nephew and the city of Sodom. You remember that story? I mean, the Lord is going to wipe it out. And Abraham said, "Lord, if it's okay, if you got just a minute here, I'd like to entreat for my nephew." So God listened to Abraham's argument, and God was merciful because of Abraham. "Ye have not because ye ask not," many times. Now, James later recorded that Abraham was a friend of God. Now, I remember reading that, "How can two walk together except they be agreed?" How are you going to be agreed if you don't know that much about someone? How are you going to know if you're agreed with God if you don't take the time to spend with God to understand what he's about and what he likes and what he don't like, what he's for and what he's against? The psalmist would say in Psalms 8:4, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" The Bible says about Enoch in Genesis 5:24, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Why is that? He must have agreed with God. God wanted him. I think many times we'll see Christians in the flower of their youth taken by God. And we think, oh, what a tragedy. But who knows? God may have just plucked that flower for himself. He's allowed to do that. He is God. God created Adam and Eve to walk and talk with him and fellowship with him in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve, mankind was God's crown, was the crown jewel of God's creation. He gave Adam and Eve dominion over all of his works. He gave them dominion here on earth over everything. One preacher said that Adam was a double crowned king. He had dominion, king of the earth. He had dominion over everything. He had the image of God, so he had a spiritual crown there too. Crown jewel of his creation, and God loved them. Oh, how disappointed God must have been to see them fall. Now, the Bible says of Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, it says in Mark 3:14, that he ordained 12 that they should be with him. There it is. He wanted some disciples to be with him. Scripture indicates that, since the beginning of mankind, God has always, always desired fellowship with mankind. But because of his holiness, he demands holiness for fellowship. In the Old Testament, it says that iniquity would keep God's fellowship away from someone. Now in the New Testament, we have access because of Jesus Christ. But everything that we do has to go through our mediator because Jesus Christ is the Holy One. That's probably why he had to separate this body of flesh, the sinful flesh, from the new creature. That which is born of God cannot sin. The new creature isn't sinful, but that old body of flesh that you're stuck with until the Lord comes back again is capable of sin. So he ordained 12 that they should be with him. Exodus 29:43, Lord said, I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. The Lord wanted to meet with his chosen people. He said, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. The prophet Jeremiah says, I will give, Jeremiah 24:7 says, and I will give them an heart to know me. I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Prophetic. You know, when the Lord sets up his kingdom in Jerusalem, the throne of David, there's going to be a lot of changes. I think times are changing now. There's going to be some big changes then. Jeremiah 3:14 said, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. Do you ever hear that? That Israel was God, the bride of God, the Father was Israel? Most people don't know that. God, the Father has a bride. Israel says so. There in Jeremiah 3:14 said, I am married unto you. God told the children of Israel that he was married to them. And then in Jeremiah 31:32, he says, I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. So that's kind of a done deal as to the truth of that matter. And God simply wanted to love him, to love them, the children of Israel, to provide for them and to shower his blessings upon them. You know, over in Deuteronomy 9:13, one time a God told Moses, he said, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. God loved them, but they, for some reason, just would not love God back. Now, God said that he was married to Israel, and he wanted to be a good husband. The problem is that Israel didn't want to spend time with her husband. Israel didn't want to spend time with God. Isn't that right? In fact, the book of Hosea, God refers to Israel as an unfaithful wife. Now listen, the Jews rejected their Messiah. God revealed the church then, that hidden pearl, referred to as the bride of Christ. God the Father has a bride, Israel. Jesus Christ has a bride, the church. 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to God, to Christ. My. Now, the day you got saved, you were espoused to Christ. Most of the time, when they get engaged one to another, they usually, it's a natural thing for them to want to spend a lot of time together. They love that closeness one to another. A lot of you ladies today, when you got to engage, you naturally wanted to have your time with him and his time with you. You became jealous of his time and your time together, jealous of that time that you spent together. My. I don't know about Lonnie and Tammy. Did that happen that way? I better watch my mouth here. My guess is when you saw Lonnie, you saw Tammy. When you saw Tammy, you saw Lonnie. Time sure changed a lot of things for a lot of us here. Let me move on here. I'm about to get in trouble. But What's the old song? Gee, ain't it funny how time slips away? Do, 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 do. Now listen, that's not how it is with our Lord. When he ordained those disciples, you know, the Bible says that he ordained 12 that they should be with him. He wanted them with him. The Lord didn't espouse you to Jesus Christ so that you could pull a disappearing act and never spend any time with him. You talk about Christians growing cold and indifferent, that's because they don't spend any time with the one who loved them first. Jeremiah 2:32, it says, "Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." So what's the problem? What is the problem between the church and its closeness or lack thereof with their Lord? My. The Lord said in Hebrews 13:5, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, God has made that promise there that he's not going anywhere. Like we talked about today, the thing with sitting next to each other when you were first in love and married, and then as the years pass, all of a sudden you're on one side and she's on the other side. Whichever one's driving, you're apart from each other. We grow apart. Well, a lot of Christians, most Christians probably grow apart from God. And he wants you to come back. He wants that same sweet closeness, that same glow and joy, the joy of the Holy Ghost in you, that was in your heart and in your life the moment you got saved, how you felt that day. You know, some of us here probably watch the news most every night. Some of us spend a lot of time with our pets. And there's a lot of things that just take up part of our day. And some of us never let a day pass without maybe reading something, a newspaper, hopefully your Bible, some from front to back. But the social construction to speak about having quality time with the one that you love. Quality time where you don't have a lot of distractions. To have quality time, you've turned the TV off, you get rid of all the noise and all the clutter, and it's just you and the one you love together. That's quality time. When is the last time that you have taken a part of every day to spend some quality time with your Lord? I don't mean just on church, just an hour, 2 hours on Sunday, and then an hour Sunday evening. The Lord hasn't gone anywhere. He wants to occupy your heart and wants you to have that, the more constant communication and fellowship that you can have with God. The more you can learn to cleave unto God, then the less that you'll worry about all the issues and the affairs of this life that have us all so burdened down. You'll get where it just don't seem as important. You know, a young couple, when you're in love, all that other stuff going on just don't seem too important. You have each other. You have one another. But he ordained the disciples, the 12, that they might be with him. And then you see, and I talked about that today, in his darkest hour, the Lord, when he went up on a mountain to pray, he was about to face the shame and the agony of the cruel cross of Calvary. And it was a decision that he was going to have to make. He had to, no man took his life from him. He had to willingly lay it down. He wanted so much to have someone there with him. James and John, those guys went with him, and John. And He wanted them to be with him. Just to talk with, just to hold him up and encourage him. And he took Peter, James, and John that day up on the mountain. Matthew 26:38, then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. He said, tarry here. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Would you just be there for me for a while? Just be with me a little while. And John 12:27, it says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. He knew why he came. He knew what he had to do to please his Father. In verse 40, Matthew 26:40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Was that too much to ask? You need to learn tonight that your Lord wants you to be with him. He wants to be with you. He wants you to be there with him. I think with Jeff, I don't know if I ever heard the message, but Jeff Holt one time told me about a sermon. I think it was Jack Hiles that preached on the verse where he told Moses to go over to the meet him on the mountain over there and said, and be there. And the message was just be there. Sometimes God just wants you to be there. And while you're there, be there. Don't have your mind wandering to 14 different things. Get that quality time with God, with God's word. He wants to walk with you and talk with you in the cool of the day. When Joyce and I were in our 20s, we lived in Miami, Florida. I'd gone to college there and got on the police department. Joyce worked got her nursing degree there at Miami-Dade Community College, and she worked at a dialysis center in the is a huge Jackson Memorial Hospital complex in downtown Miami. And we'd come home at night. She'd come home. She'd tell me about her day. And a lot of nights, it was just her and I, and we both made a pretty good living. We'd go out and find a restaurant and just hang out, talk about our days and the struggles we had from that day, and just enjoyed our time together. And now, just don't you think that the Lord would like to hear a little more from you, a little more from me than he does? He'd like to hear about your day. He'd like to hear what's going on with the job, you know, opportunities to witness, what has occupied your day. The Lord wants that closeness and that sweetness. He wants you to cleave unto him. He wants to hear about your successes. He wants to comfort you and speak softly to you about your failures. He just wants some quality time, heart to heart. He wants some heart to heart. As a bridegroom would speak to his bride, he wants that closeness with you. We should want that closeness with him. I think we've forgotten how sweet it is to have that closeness with our Lord. Job said this. Job said in Job 23:12, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Revelation 21:9, the Bible says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, saying, come up, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And Jeremiah, God told the children of Israel, he said, Jeremiah 7:13, I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. I'm sure the Lord's called me many times, and I just didn't answer. Like a lot of the answer machines that we have, with a big lie taped on it. I'm not here right. We're not here right now, sitting there watching TV, eating popcorn. We're not here right now. Sure you are. I don't mean the medal. Let me get back. Preacher, you was doing okay till you got to that part. All right. And there came, where was Jeremiah 7:13? Rising up early and speaking, but you heard not. I called you and you answered not. God wants to hear from you. He's waiting you to return the call. He wants to hear from you tonight, tomorrow, the next day. He wants to hear from you all the time. Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, he said. The Lord, in his great intercessory prayer over in John 17, Lord understood about that cross that was before him, and he would later fall on his face and he would ask this. He said, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. But as thou wilt, it said here in Matthew 26:39. He was a preacher all alone, all by himself, and he would soon finish the work that his heavenly Father had given him to do. His heart was heavy. He lifted up his voice to heaven, Father, I will that they also, I used this verse this morning, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. He said, those that you've given me, I want my church, I want all those who by faith have trusted in me. I want my disciples, said those that you have given me, I want them to be with me where I am. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, and that thou lovest, for thou hast lovest me before the foundation of the world. Did you see that? Lord of glory just said it was his will that they whom the Father had given him be with him. He said, with me where I am. But you have to purpose in your heart, like we preached this morning, to cleave unto the Lord. We live busy lives. Everyone does. Sure, we're busy. Sure, we've got things. But who gave you the gift to earn that living? Who is there for you when your child is sick? Who is there for you? God, he wants to be there for you, and he don't want you to be a stranger. He wants to hear from you. He wants that closeness and that sweet fellowship. He said in Malachi 3:10, he said, prove me herewith and see. And I know the context there is giving, but it works in this area too. Lord says, you try me out. You prove me with and see. Prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Wow. Sometimes we need to go back to square one and remember our first love and that closeness that we had with God. Let me challenge you to do that tonight. Or as Barnabas, exhort you, to purpose in your heart to cleave unto God. He wants that closeness. He wants that sweet fellowship. He don't want you to be concerned with all this craziness around you. He knows what's going on. And he's your Father and your God. And nothing can happen to you that God don't allow to happen to you. But you need that sweet closeness and fellowship to understand that. When I was a boy, if my mom and dad was there, I didn't worry about anything. I knew everything was going to be all right. God wants to comfort you and let you know that everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. I have this written down on this message. I forget where it came from. But it said, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. My, we need to come back to the Lord, get alone with him, spend time with him, love on him, love on your Lord. Let him know that you love him and that you're thankful and you're grateful and you're appreciative of all that he is to you. And he's deserving. He's deserving of more than we could ever, more gratitude than we could ever give him. He just wants to have you with him. Have you be there with him where he is. I'm done. Jeremiah, if you'll come, we'll have a verse of a song of invitation. I'm going to get out of here a little early, and I know that may upset a lot of you people. But God is good. Won't you draw closer to the Lord tonight? Won't you purpose in your heart? Get it fixed in your mind that you're just going to do it. You're going to take the time. You're going to schedule the time to get alone with God. You can get alone with God when you're driving down the road. And you can get alone with God while you're on the job. You can get alone with God in your heart about any time. Take him with you wherever you go and seek his counsel in every decision you make. Bring every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. To do that, the altar's open tonight as we sing.
Number 308, I surrender all.